You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, October 5th, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. And today's episode is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. I hope you had a good weekend. I felt like this was going to be a good weekend for me because the Jets had already played Thursday, so I'd have a chance to take a couple days, get over the loss, watch some good football over the weekend. But you know what? I'm coming back today even more annoyed about the Jets because there have been a couple stories that came out over the last few days that have annoyed me. And watching real teams play and comparing them to the Jets actually just gets me even more frustrated. And I guess the frustration began before Thursday night's game even took place, because Ian Rappaport of NFL Network broke the story that Adam Gase was not coaching for his job Thursday, which is now obvious because as we record this, Adam Gase remains the head coach of the New York Jets. And it was confirmed after the game by Connor Hughes of The Athletic. And both of them stated that one of the primary reasons for this is that they are worried that firing Adam Gase would hurt the development of Sam Darnold. Let me repeat that for you in case you did not hear it the first time. The New York Jets reportedly are not firing Adam Gase right now because they feel it would hurt the development of Sam Darnold. Have you watched the games this year? Have you watched the last two seasons, the offense the Jets have run, the system Adam Gase has put in? In fact, I started reviewing the film on Saturday of the offensive side of the ball for the Jets against Denver. And one of the things that came to mind was just how poorly constructed this offense is. And I remember back 2018, late 2018, early 2019, when it was obvious the Jets were moving on from Todd Bowles, and then they went into their coaching search. Mike McCarthy was a name that came up quite a bit. In fact, a lot of people probably viewed him as the front runner for the job at the beginning of the process, the beginning of the coaching search. And there were some people who were not fans of Mike McCarthy. I myself, I can't say I was necessarily against it, but I did have some concerns. And yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys lost to fall to 1-3. And I saw a number of people on my website, on social media, say, remember all those Jets fans who wanted Mike McCarthy? Well, now look at him. He's 1-3. And of course, there's only one response to a comment like that. The Jets are in no position to say, thank goodness we did not hire a coach, because you ended up with Adam Gase. But I remember back in those days, a little less than 2 years ago, one of the big concerns was that McCarthy's offense was kind of outdated. You know, he was not using a lot of motions. He was not really scheming guys open. Essentially, in McCarthy's offense in Green Bay, one of the big problems is that his guys had to win one-on-one. He essentially put his guys on the field, and if they could not win one-on-one, they just could not move the ball. And when I said, what do you mean one-on-one? Essentially, you're sticking your guys in the spot, and they have to beat their man. What's the alternative? Well, there are lots of different alternatives. You can bunch the receivers in the formation close together to create traffic against man-to-man coverages. You can run what are known as rub routes, where one of you essentially draw it up. And New England does this all the time, where one of the receivers, quote-unquote, accidentally runs into a defender. You have two receivers cross each other, and hopefully they run into the defender, create traffic, which forces the defender to alter his route and create space for a receiver to get open. And it's amazing. It amazes me rewatching this game between the Jets and the Broncos, how little the Jets do that. And essentially what the Jets got in Adam Gase, all of the major concerns you had about Mike McCarthy's scheme from Green Bay, because this is a very poorly designed scheme. It does not make anything easier on the players, and it certainly does not make anything easier on the quarterback. There's a phrase, quarterback-friendly offense, and essentially what that is it is the type of offense where the quarterback doesn't have to make complex reads on every single play. The quarterback has essentially an easier job because there are certain things pre-snap he can read. In many instances, he can just read one player, and he'll be able to decide where the ball has to go pre-snap. Now, you can't build your entire offense around something like this, but it's the type of thing that can kind of give the quarterback a break. You don't need the quarterback to stand in the pocket, scan the entire field. When you have a young quarterback, I think most quarterbacks in the league, you don't want to force them to sit in the pocket and scan the entire field all game, unless you have somebody who's truly elite. But you especially can't do that with a young quarterback, and you especially can't do that in a situation where you are lacking talent all across the board at the receiver position, when your tight end is not producing, when your running back is hurt. So when I hear reports that the Jets don't want to fire Adam Gase because they're worried it will hurt Sam Darnold's development, it just reminds you of how we got into this situation. Because you have an owner who has no idea what it takes to develop a quarterback. You have an owner who has no idea what it takes to win in this league. Right now, Frank Gore has the 12th most carries in the NFL. Is that helping the quarterback's development, giving the ball that many times to one of the oldest running backs in the NFL? And again, I want to reiterate how much respect I have for Frank Gore for what he's done during his career. This is not about me thinking Frank Gore has been a bad player throughout his career. I have a lot of respect for the player Frank Gore has been. He's been a great back in this league. And he's a guy who, and it's amazing that he's even in the NFL at 37. And I do think that there's a rationale to have him on the team. You know, he's a good guy who can really help if you have a young running back, mentor him, show him how you be a pro, how you work in the weight room, how you work off the field, what you do in your free time. There's value to having Frank Gore on your team, and he's still in good enough shape where he can probably handle a few touches a game without really hurting your team. But he's not at the point where he should be the 12th most used running back in the NFL. Giving Frank Gore less carries is not going to hurt Sam Darnold's development. And I just look at these explanations, and these are the types of things that really bother you going forward. Because eventually, Adam Gase is going to be fired. But firing Adam Gase is really the easy part. The difficult part is getting the right coach in here. And that's going to require ownership doing the right things. And when you hear comments like ownership's not going to fire Adam Gase because they're worried about Sam Darnold's development, it does not inspire confidence in you that ownership really understands how to evaluate a situation in the NFL, that ownership really understands the impact coaching has in the NFL. And that's very frustrating. And ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, I'm going to tell you more things that are frustrating me about this team right now. But before I get into that, I'm going to give you a chance to get some food. And DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities we operate in safe. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman, it is easy to talk about, with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you in a free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today and connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Monday. I'm annoyed with a lot of things that are happening with the New York Jets right now. I'm annoyed with the coach. I'm annoyed the fact he was even hired to begin with. I'm annoyed that he's still the coach. But my annoyance level rose on Friday when we got word that Sam Darnold may have to miss some time going forward with the shoulder he injured during Thursday's game. He left briefly. Joe Flacco came in, threw a couple passes before Darnold returned. Because this Darnold news leads me to one pretty basic question. If he's so hurt that he's going to have to miss time going forward, why was he allowed to come back into that game? And it's not just Darnold we're talking about, by the way, because Mekhi Becton was active for Thursday's game and had to go in early after Chuma Edoga suffered an injury and clearly could not play. He had to leave shortly after he went in. What's going on with this organization? Who's making the decisions that these young players can play hurt? What's happening here? And the optics of this are obvious. You have a coach who's desperate to save his job, who is putting in these players who are hurt, these young players who may be important to the future of the organization. Becton's definitely important to the future of the organization. And Darnold, while things are not really clear how it's going to go with him, at this point is at least the quarterback, the franchise quarterback for the Jets. Again, that may change, but at this point in time, he's still important. And these young players are being thrown into the lineup when they're not 100%. In Becton's case, he clearly could not play. And in Darnold's case, he apparently has an injury that's so serious that he may have to miss time. And I sit here and I wonder, why are these players going back into the game if they're so hurt? And it reminds me, Damian Woody of ESPN brought this up on Twitter. It reminds you last year of the Kelechi Osemele situation, where Osemele clearly was not able to play effectively. I mean, I don't even think that's debatable. He had an issue with his shoulder, and he got surgery, and the Jets cut him over it because I guess the Jets wanted him to be a backup. The Jets essentially put him in the situation Becton was in Thursday night, where they wanted him to dress, even though he clearly could not play. And you wonder, this is just an ongoing thing with the Jets. What's going on? Why is there no leadership in this organization? And this, is again, goes to something that annoys me. It comes from the very top, is that in a good organization, stuff like this doesn't happen. You understand that one game in a season that's already lost doesn't make a difference. It's not like the 2020 season is salvaged if you beat the Denver Broncos Thursday. What matters is the health of your young cornerstone players. But there's no leadership in this organization. There's nobody to step in and point this stuff out because you have an owner who's 16-36 in his tenure with the Jets and who thinks that getting rid of Adam Gase is going to hurt Sam Darnold's development. Never mind what he's seen in front of him the last 2 years. Never mind the way the quarterback has not developed on this coach's watch and the responsibility this coach has for that. None of that matters, apparently, to the Jets. And I don't mean to bash my colleagues in the media, but I shouldn't be the only one out there saying that Adam Gase needs to go. I shouldn't be the only one seeing these things. On Saturday morning, I read an article that pretty much might have all been written by Adam Gase from the New York Post. And I don't mean to pick on the New York Post, but I read this article that talks about how Joe Douglas is to blame for this mess. You know, and I'm not going to defend the job Joe Douglas has done. A lot of his signings have been terrible. But, I mean, come on. We're talking about the difference between, for what Joe Douglas could have done. This was essentially his first offseason. He inherited a bad situation. The moves Joe Douglas could have made are probably the difference between, 2-14 and 5-11, even if Douglas hits on all of his moves. But the reason I'm pointing this article out is because, again, it might as well have been ghostwritten by Adam Gase. And here's a quote from it. Anybody looking at this objectively can see he has been entered into a gun battle with a water pistol. You were playing a team on its third quarterback Thursday night. You lost last year to an 0-11 Cincinnati team. You lost last year to an 0-7 Miami team. That's not talent. Now, if you're sitting there saying, why aren't the Jets Super Bowl contenders, it's all Adam Gase's fault, then fine, that's a fair point. But can the media please stop trying to make excuses for Adam Gase for losing to an 0-3 team on its third quarterback, flying two time zones on a Thursday night? And you expected me to sit here and honestly believe that ridiculous statement that this is a talent issue? The Jets lost Thursday night to the Denver Broncos because they don't have... Now, listen, the talent's terrible, but don't sit there and tell me that the coaching has no blame in any of this. Don't sit there and tell me Joe Douglas is anywhere proportionally close to the deserving the amount of blame Adam Gase deserves right now. It's absurd. 2 years from now, 2022, 3 years from now, 2023, if the roster is anywhere close to this, Joe Douglas has most of the blame. But my goodness, I mean, how can you sit there with a straight face and essentially write an article? I mean, I'm convinced Adam Gase had to have commissioned that article because there's no objective writer. I mean, there's no way you can objectively write something like that after you lose to an 0-3 Denver team on its third quarterback flying two time zones on a short week. And you're actually going to sit there with a straight face and expect any of us to believe that, Adam. But this is, I mean, this is, that's part of the problem is the media doesn't seem to hold Adam Gase accountable. The bigger issue, though, within this franchise is just the total lack of accountability anywhere. I might need a Built Bar to cheer me up. And the improved Built Bar is now even more delicious. There are six new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp to go with the 12 original flavors. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. Peanut butter has 19 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs, while coconut almond has 18 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Monday. I watched a bunch of the Carolina-Arizona game yesterday, which Carolina won. The Panthers are now 2-2, and if you go back to the spring, a lot of people thought that the Panthers were going to be the worst team in the NFL. Well, their new head coach, Matt Rhule, has them at 2-2. And Matt Rhule was almost the head coach of the New York Jets back in 2019. Back in January of 2019, the Jets reportedly came close to hiring him. Now, would the Jets be better with Matt Rhule? My guess is yes. Is Matt Rhule a coach who's going to eventually take the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl? I don't know. Is he going to be a successful coach? I don't know. But watching that game, I could not help but think about the period when the Jets almost hired Matt Rhule. And the reason it reportedly fell apart is that Mike Maccagnan and Chris Johnson were adamant that they'd be able to choose Matt Rhule's coaching staff. They did not trust Matt Rhule to hire his own coaching staff, which to me is always the weirdest thing in the world, because it's like you trust this guy to run your organization, but you don't trust this guy to put the right people in place around him. Well, what's happened since then? The Jets hired Adam Gase, and Adam Gase brought in as the offensive coordinator to help oversee the development of the young franchise quarterback. He brought in Dowell Loggins. Who did Matt Rhule get to run his offense? He happened to get the hottest offensive coach in all of football, Joe Brady, who was a big part of LSU's offense last year when LSU won the national championship in college. And you look back at that, and again, I don't want to make Matt Rhule into Vince Lombardi after four games in the NFL, but you look back, it's amazing how bad the process was for the Jets. It's amazing the result they ended up with, because they did not trust a guy who ended up getting the best, you know, the hottest offensive name in football to run his offense. They did not trust him, but they trusted Adam Gase to bring in Dowell Loggins. And that's the type of thing that's gotten the Jets to this point. It's amazing how frequently bad process leads to bad results. People always ask me, because I talk about process a lot, why do you care about process? Well, results are all that matter. Well, here's the thing. In the NFL, you got to get a lot of decisions right to build a championship caliber team. One decision here or there is not going to do it. That's why process matters. Now, let's just take this to an extreme. What's the best possible process you could have when you make decisions in the NFL? Probably thoroughly researching everybody, you know, doing as thorough of a job to try and evaluate people that you could potentially hire or sign. Just the most rigorous process imaginable. What's the worst possible process? Probably something like just taking a dart board, putting a bunch of potential decisions on there and throwing darts at the board and making your decisions that way. Now, yes, even the most thorough process, even if you have the most rigorous process evaluating people, you're going to get decisions wrong. And yes, if you throw darts at a board, eventually you may hit the right decision throwing a dart at the board. But over the course of 5, 10 years, who do you think is going to make more good decisions, more good evaluations? It's the people doing the thorough, rigorous evaluations. And that's the reason process matters, because in the NFL, you have coaching staffs that are enormous. You have 53-player rosters. You have to make big decisions on contracts, salary cap. There are so many big decisions in the NFL, and you have to get an inordinate number of them correct. That's why process matters, because there are just so many decisions that a bad process, you have no chance. It's amazing to think of how frequently through the years the Jets have had a bad process. And that coaching search is a great example. The fact that they brought in Adam Gase because if you remember, Adam Gase was not their number one choice. But they hired Adam Gase because he was the only one that would meet their conditions, such as keeping Mike Maccagnan on as the general manager, such as agreeing to have certain coaches on his staff. Bad process leads to bad results. And there's been plenty of bad process through the years, leaving Mike Maccagnan on at the end of 2018 after his tenure had been totally unsuccessful. I mean, if you go back all the way, you can go back all the way. I think the bad process, you could argue, it began at the end of the 2012 season when the Jets got rid of Mike Tannenbaum and kept Rex Ryan. But they did not commit to Rex Ryan. They essentially left Rex Ryan to coach for his job as they brought in a new general manager. And they hired John Idzik. And I've always thought part of the reason they ended up with Idzik was that keeping Rex made the job so unattractive that they could only get a guy like Idzik. Where John Idzik, this is the only chance he's ever going to have to be a general manager. Because any good situation, any team that's in a stable situation is going to have a better candidate they can choose from. And what happened, of course, they were on different timelines. Rex was coaching for his job. Idzik had a long-term build, a long-term view. And they clashed. And that created dysfunction within the organization. And we ended up here. And you look at how many, I mean, you can go through the years, how bad the process has been within the organization. I could probably name 10 things that have happened since that decision back at the end of 2012. And that's how the Jets got here. I mean, that's the big part of how the Jets got here. And things can only get better unless, if the Jets get smarter, if ownership gets smarter. And I feel like I've concluded 5 or 10 shows this year saying something like that, saying ownership needs to be smarter. Well, it's the only way we're going to get out of this. And I'm just beyond the point of frustration with this franchise right now. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you have a good Monday. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.